Cornucopia Radio presents.
Hello, and welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle, and we're passing a bucket around during the show. Just pop it under the nuclear fusion reactor. It's leaking again. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. Now, they may look like duck-billed platypuses, but... oh, crap, where are the panelists? Please welcome David Wiley, Chris Cosentino, Pip Mason, and Tom Harrison. So let's move on to the challenge in round one. Gary Lineker has gone insane. After years of pretending to be invested in the so-called beautiful game, he has stripped naked and started trashing the match of the day set while declaring his true passion to the world, Tiddlywinks. You must hasten to the studio in Manchester and satiate his competitive disc-firing madness with a pack of ready salted crisps. It's the only way. So attempting the challenge first will be Wiley. Your object tonight is a jousting pole. Your companion is Enrique Iglesias. Your mode of transport is MC Hammer's parachute pants. And your starting point is dangling off a flagpole from your underpants in Taipei, Taiwan. So best of luck to you trying to get to Manchester. And best of luck to you, Chris, trying to stop him. Wiley, your time starts now.
So I'm dangling off the flagpole. Just to recap, in case you weren't listening, I unhook myself. It's an incredibly tall flagpole. I'm gonna say, you know,
isn't that gonna hurt when you fall off of it?
Yeah, but I am wearing a pair of parachute pants, it's gonna be all right.
I was groaning out of admiration for that intelligent idea.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Also killing time to try and make you use up as much time as possible, letting me ramble on and on.
Stop! Go, Wiley!
I'm so confident, I just let him do this. Okay, the parachute pants take me to China. We go straight over the ocean, because time...
Carrying your Enrique Iglesias with you.
Oh, he finds me there. He's actually incredibly good at navigation. And I use his navigation skills to get me through China and up to Kazakhstan and then Russia. And...
okay, whoa. Okay, something goes down in Kazakhstan.
Please elaborate.
Specifically, your Enrique Iglesias has drawn the attention of a gaggle of older women who want his autograph and, let's be honest, want to take him off your hands.
Okay, I erect a giant barrier between him and the gaggle using a jousting pole. But you can't get through that. Okay. So we carry on.
Okay.
I carry a jousting pole in front of him so they can't get to him.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I was going to ask about leaving the jousting pole to act as the barrier, but he's two steps ahead of me.
No, I know the rules.
He's killing your time!
He's gone! He's so good at it! Okay. We keep heading up. We're very fast at walking, I've realised. So I'm going to... I decided that I'm going to get really, really good at jumping. And then when I'm in the air, activating the parachute pants and gliding.
You can use your pole as a pole vault.
Oh, that's brilliant, James. Thank you. That
you
makes
ringer,
me...
You what the hell?
I'll help you later.
Stop wasting time, Chris, honestly. Yeah, so pole vaulting and then gliding and then pole vaulting and then gliding. It's a horrible cycle that I hope will be broken by an obstacle.
Okay, while you're pole vaulting, you miss the trajectory and you end up landing in the middle of the ocean. And ooh, as we all know, Enrique Iglesias' biggest fan base are elderly Kazakhstanian women and sharks.
We're way past Kazakhstan. Okay, so a bunch of sharks come up and want his autograph, and he sort of
1 minute left.
He's got a pen with him. He's writing on the blubber, you know.
Blubber?
Yeah. Oh, that's whales. I don't know. What do sharks have? Fins.
Teeth.
He's autographing their teeth. It's great. We're having a really good time. And we use all the sharks to give us a healthy ride.
You've just given him sharks, yeah. Man. That was a bad idea.
We're swimming off towards Manchester, and you know any obstacle that comes in our way just gets, you know, we've got sharks now.
Okay, until we hit land, presumably.
Yeah. Well, as we all know from the recent film, Manchester is by the sea, so we jump out on the we jump out on the coast of Manchester, start looking around for the studio.
All right, well, fine, David Wiley. I guess we'll end it there. Fantastic stuff. Okay, well, now attempting the challenge will be Chris. Your object tonight is an auctioneer's gavel. Your companion is two kids on each other's shoulders in a long coat. Your mode of transport is a quad bike powered by Rad.
Awesome.
And your starting point is sat front row, dead center, in a full house for a friend's terrible new musical in Equatorial Guinea. So best of luck to you, Chris, trying to get to Manchester, and best of luck to you, Wiley, trying to stop him. Chris, your time starts now.
Okay, well, as we all know, new theatre, let alone new musical theatre, is not nearly rad enough to power any kind of standard quad bike. So I overtake my friend's performance and turn it into a production of Starlight Express, which, as we all know, is the raddest amateur production known to man, which powers my quad bike enough that me, the two kids in the long coat, and the auctioneer gabble can head upwards through Nigeria, heading towards the coast.
Excellent. Yeah, that's really good. I like that. Carry on.
Jolly good.
Your rad isn't going to last forever, though. Starlight Express is quite a short musical.
Ooh.
Okay, so I keep on going. Let's say I make it... Can I get to the coast? Do I get to the border or...
Let's say you're in Algeria, near the coast.
I'm in Algeria, a.k.a. the rad capital of...
calling something rad actually sucks all the rad out of it. Oh. Your go-kart grinds to a halt.
That is a very good point. However, I make a counter-argument that it does make it radder, and because I have an auctioneer's gavel, I can use it as a judge's gavel and decree myself as accurate in regards to the radness of my previous aforementioned statements.
I'll allow this once. I can see this breaking the game otherwise.
Fair shot. I tell you what, I'll be fair. I'll pop a couple of sick ollies just to try and keep my rad levels at an acceptable level. Just to get me to the coast, be on the safe side. So we hit the coast and we...
The coast hits you back.
That's pretty rad, though. That's pretty rad.
Okay. I punch the coast back, and the coast's girlfriend sees it and realizes that I'm a better match for it. And I also managed to save the youth center that was in danger of being torn down by the rich kids, like dad, property development dad. Now
that was elaborate.
1 minute left.
Now, as for crossing the ocean. I fashion a boat out of the out of the coat that the kids are using.
I thought you were going to say the kids for a second.
It's fine. They're on board. They appreciate rad. They're willing to lend me the coat. I tell you what, we sneak into an R-rated movie first, so just to get them more on my side. Like, he's old, but he appreciates our young sensibilities. Right on, older gentleman.
Get going!
So I use my boat constructed out of a rad quad bike and a long coat and a gavel as a... Oh, what do you call those things that steer boats?
Oars.
A rudder.
Tillers.
An oar, that's the one. And we head towards the coast of England.
Okay.
Now, I think we can all agree. Fashioning a boat out of a quad bike, a long coat... Just MacGyvering anything to that kind of extent is going to be pretty rad.
Yeah. You have 10 seconds left.
So in the course of 10 seconds, I propel forward into Manchester on my quad bike and...
Do something rad.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris Costantino. Maybe ran out of a bit of juice towards the end there.
I was having to sort of run along with it by the end.
Very nice stuff from our first pair there in round one, but we're now moving on to our second pair. And attempting the challenge first will be Pip. Your object tonight is a school stationery set from WH Smith's. Your companion is a clingy vicar. Your mode of transport is a bike with Play-Doh wheels. And your starting point is drowning in the world's largest jam donut in Las Vegas, Nevada. So best of luck to Pip trying to get to Manchester, and best of luck to Tom trying to stop him. Pip, your time starts now.
Right, I have been on some drunken adventures before. I don't know how I've ended up in Las Vegas, Nevada, and why I thought it was a good idea to try and eat the world's biggest donut on my own. But I'm
I mean, that makes sense to me. But
I know. But I'm in trouble. I'm possibly drowning. But this weird vicar I picked up, just going around the town. Not even sure he's a real vicar. I mean, his vestments are PVC. But I just thought, well, he's eating jam donuts, so that's just sensible more than anything. Luckily, you know, he's so clingy, he pulls me out of the donut by the scruff of collar, and he's like, oh, thanks. It's like, we could be best friends now. And it's like, hold on. No. Only just met you, you know. And then I hear Gary's going mad in Manchester, and he's like, oh, God, I've got to sort this out, because apparently I'm the only person with some ready salted crisps on me.
One of the biros in your school pack has burst, and it's just soaking everything, and it's just complete anarchy in the, in the USA, outside of a giant donut, yeah, as you do.
Oh no! Well, in that case, I will just—I'll take my stationery set and speak to my clingy vicar and go like, "I'll be your friend if you drink this." And it's like, "Yay!" And he'll just downs it in one. So he's just got like blue smear around his face,
blue tongue, and everything.
But you know, he's closer to earning my friendship, so it's worth it. To him. Right, so it's time to get moving. I decide I want to do the whole Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas thing in a cool Cadillac down to California to the pier. Unfortunately, all I have is a bike with Play-Doh wheels. The vicar insisted it would be fine, except every 20 minutes I have to reform the wheels. For it to go.
Yeah, the wheels are mounting quite badly. And to quote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, we were just in the desert when the Play-Doh wheels started to mount.
Yes, okay, so right, in that case, I will just scoop up the Play-Doh into my stationery set, and hopefully that will contain it. Again, Vicar, you want to be a pal? Carry that bike for me, and while you're at it, me as well.
Yay! Clingy characters are kind of broken in retrospect.
So I'm just like, yeah, but it's a bit difficult because it's really warm because we're in the middle of the desert going down to California.
It really is an uphill battle for this Vicar.
It really is. He's wearing PVC. I keep sliding off. But it's okay, we make it to California.
One minute left.
Oh, we're only in California. Right, okay, so we charter a boat. I offer to trade my cool protractor, which I know is in the W.H. Smith set, to the port. So can you give us a lift to Russia?
You have to keep it with you.
Damn it! Well, I just won't give it to him.
And worse still, the vicar has now decided that he likes the taste of the biro fluid so much that he's just eating his way through the rest of the set. He's just eating a Pritt stick like a Solero.
Well, it's okay, because it's inside him. I'm still taking it with him, so that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so instead, right, the protractor has made a mould of the blue tack, which are the wheels, so now I can just use that to make more protractors, as many as the captain wants to take me to Russia. Right, I will make it to Russia. We charter sled dogs again because they're so cool. And we
you are heading in a very odd direction. You have 10 seconds left.
God damn it! Right, in that case, I'll just text Gary to go, cut it out, mate. I'll owe you some crisps.
All right, hey, Mason.
I did not get very far at all.
No, somewhere in Russia.
Somewhere in Russia.
Okay, great. Well, now it's Tom's turn to try and do better than that.
I'm not sure I will.
Your object tonight is a swing set. Okay. Your companion is Sir Trevor MacDonald. Your mode of transport is a Roomba. And your starting point is struggling at the self-service checkout in Tesco in Lima, Peru. Okay. So, best of luck to Tom trying to get to Manchester, and best of luck to Pip trying to stop him. Your time starts now.
So, first of all, I use the dulcet tones of Trevor MacDonald to convince the staff at the Tesco that I have successfully put items in the bagging area and sneak away without paying, because that's just how much of a bad boy I am. So, I place the swing set onto the Roomba to provide a nice seat. I mean, not the stablest seat in the world, but I'm not going to stand the whole way. That'd be ridiculous. And, I start heading up through Mexico and towards Gary Lineker's face.
Yeah. Unfortunately, traveling through the dusty roads of Mexico, your Roomba just does a detour and starts doing all the streets in a concerted manner.
I kick it in frustration several times, which is probably not what the manufacturers advise, but it does seem to slightly more figure out that we have a job to do. Roombas secretly possess incredible knowledge. Moving swiftly on, I arrive in Florida, where I start to kind of, you know, we're flagging a bit, so we need to kind of maybe get even some money. So we offer like kind of like self-service. I've got self-service on the brain now, but basically we offer ourselves out to local news services. It's like, this is an esteemed British news bloke.
Unfortunately, ABC catch news of this amazing pitch for a new show that you have and want to keep like an interview format, which is Trevor McDonald on a swing. Interviewing,
I mean,
people.
I'm not going to lie, I'm into that in a big way. I kind of want to just stay and produce it, but I guess for the sake of the game, I'll be like, Trevor, you know, you're a respected news guy in this country. You don't want to be doing swing news about, like, Albuquerque chili fairs. I don't know. Like, you know, come on. You're not better than this, but you're different than this. So we saddle up the Roomba again, and we hoover up to Boston, as the Dropkick Murphys said.
1 minute left.
Okay. Oh, the Roomba has remembered how you treat it and has gained sentience and has now become malevolent.
Okay. Well, thankfully, I am... God, I don't even know what to do here. Okay, here we go. I go into it. My brain working 5 miles a... Yeah, I go into a American whatever they you wherever you can buy vacuums and stuff in America, and I set it up on a hot date with a a vacuum cleaner. I can't think of any brands. Right, Dyson. There we go. A nice Dyson love. That sounded weird. From Boston, I managed to get a local tinkerer to reverse the polarity of the room, which allows it to operate as a makeshift hovercraft. The swing set that once had made me feel so nauseous, now providing a like gyroscopic steadier as I cross the stormy ocean.
10 seconds left.
And I reach Spain and then I give up.
What a fantastic invention. Very nice stuff from both pairs there in round one. But now it's time to find out who is moving on to round two. And those two people are Wiley and Tom. Congratulations. We now move swiftly on to round two. In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transport to improvise obstacles. In order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy, Looney Lineker Lewdness Limiter. La-dee-da! Let's see what the challenge is in round two. You arrive at the Match of the Day studio and rugby tackle rabid Gary to the floor before stuffing his face with the delicious taste of Walkers. His sanity returns, at which point he guiltily shows you his Twitter feed. Turns out Lineker has considerable influence upon the sport-viewing public, and crazy football hooligans are descending upon the World Tiddlywinks final en masse in Santiago, Chile. You need to break up that ruckus before it gets out of hand. Okay. So, attempting the challenge first will be Wiley, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a jousting pole, Enrique Iglesias, and his MC Hammer's parachute pants. But now Chris will be trying to stop him using his auctioneer's gavel, two kids in a long coat, and a quad bike powered by Rad. Best of luck to you, Wiley. Try not to be too rad. It mightn't go against your favour. Best of luck to you. Time starts now.
Okay, we exit the studio and head back to the coast where our sharks are waiting for us. Just going to get that out of the way. I still have sharks. Okay. We jump on the sharks and head off.
As you're leaving, your sharks get... hit by small, sharp stones being shot from a quad bike doing sick donuts in the on the quarry. And because the act of doing donuts is in and of itself rad, yeah, I basically have perpetual motion quad bike. <Yeah. laughs>
Okay. I catch all of the stones with MC Hammer's parachute pants acting as... They're probably going to go right through them, aren't they? It's going to ruin my parachute. But
yeah, cheers.
You're welcome. Okay, I bat them away with a jousting pole, a bit like baseball or whatever, hit like 10 home runs.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, my shark. Yeah, you've got plenty of rad, but my sharks have gotten far enough away from the coast. You can't affect me, and you're not going to be able to get... You can't get off the UK, can you? Right, we head off.
I am allowed to keep interjecting. That's not me stuck in Manchester now, is it?
Yes, you can float around behind him. Like a...
Yeah, just give me a second, though. We head south down the Atlantic Ocean, hoping to sort of curve around the bottom of South America, because these sharks are a much better... You know, it's a much better mode of transport than these parachute pants with holes in them now.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so, okay, we get to the... We keep going, I suppose.
Okay, wait, so do you mean are you still in the ocean at this point?
We're in the ocean heading south towards the bottom of South America.
Okay, well, while in the ocean, I start auctioning off your sharks. slightly damaged, but there's going to be a market for them, let's be honest.
Do you need the owner's permission to do that?
Well, that's somewhat debatable. No, not doing politics.
Enrique Iglesias buys them all. he's rich, and we keep going.
Fair shout.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it takes a minute. And also, it's in the middle of the ocean. Who are you auctioning to? No one.
Narwhals, couple of manatees,
couple of mermaids.
There you go.
All of them are poor, and we keep
one
going.
1 minute left.
Head back, Mr. 1%.
I hit you with a jousting pole. we go around the bottom of South America, head up towards Chile, which is like that's that country right on the coast.
Yeah, it's
it?
On the west side, yeah.
And, well, hit Chile.
Chile hits you back. Yeah.
Ow. I joust over it as it lunges towards me. I land on the other side of Chile and then realise I need to get there while it's attacking me.
While on the outskirts of Chile, which is at this point is just kind of steering clear of a moving Chile, I'm not sure. Okay, while you're strafing around Chile, the two kids have fashioned a trip rope out of the long coat and they trip you.
I rip it in half with the jousting pole.
10 seconds left!
And jump onto a somewhat unsteady Chile, finding the Tiddlywinks final.
Fantastic! David Wiley! That all become quite intangible towards the end. Very nice stuff from our first pair in round two, but now attempting the challenge will be Tom, who, just to remind everyone, has with him his swing set and his Roomba, which has been jury-rigged into some sort of gyroscopic mega-hovercraft. And Sir Trevor McDonald! But now Pip will be trying to stop him using his school stationery set from WH Smith's, a clingy vicar, and his bike with Play-Doh wheels. Best of luck to you, Tom, trying to get to Santiago. Your time starts now.
Okay, so I head down along the kind of length of Britain, hopping over to get to Spain, or whatever.
You're halfway across the English Channel, and then... Oh no, someone appears to have stuck a set square into your like hovercraft thing and it's just chuggering away.
Oh,
who
no.
could have done that?
Who indeed? Well, it splatters out of life and I do sink to the ground, but then myself and Trevor, covered in seaweed, kind of burst up the beaches of somewhere in the north of France. I'm cradling at this point the Roomba in my hands. We struck up quite a relationship. I'm just like, oh my God, why have they done this to you? And so I dismantle the swing set and jury rig it back into sort of life as a Mad Max death machine covered in blades and springs, that's the term, which I dub the Doomba. Which is a joke I've been thinking of this whole night. And I mount it again, heading off from Spain across the Atlantic Ocean, living off of a diet of raw fish and salt water, which is not a great idea in retrospect.
Okay, so you're driving along in the Doomba and then you look in the rearview mirror and all of a sudden, oh no, there's like a slightly slippery vicar behind you. Wielding some sort of sharpened pencil.
Trevor McDonald turns around and raises a megaphone that I have for some reason. And he goes,
I just imagine that Trevor McDonald has a megaphone at all times.
He goes, seawater to seawater, dirt to dirt. This is Trevor McDonald and you're about to get hurt. I'm really glad I can just distract people from how little of a plan I have by being weird. So I hop off the thing and swim for Brazil, which is a really stupid idea, but I've done it now. And Trevor McDonald rides the Doomba back into the fray, like, witness me! Rams into the vicar and it's chaos. It's just... There's glasses and PVC flying everywhere, but I just about make it to Brazil, where...
Not yet, because I hit you around the face with a Play-Doh-covered bike.
That was mildly inconvenient, because you hit me with the Play-Doh side.
It's the last thing I've got at this point.
I come ashore in Brazil, slightly covered in Play-Doh, and ultimately questioning why I'm even doing this in the first place. But I, from there, hitchhike my way across Brazil like some kind of art movie. Maybe I find myself on the way, maybe I don't.
Okay, last ditch effort. Someone scattered thumbtacks all across the road as you're walking.
These actually really mess me up. Like, they really hurt my feet.
10 seconds
left. I collapse and don't make it there.
Oh, okay, don't hurt. You really are your worst enemy at this game, Tom. Excellent stuff from both pairs there in round two. But now it's time to find out the conclusion of this tale and who has won this a little bit racy. With the hooligans eventually dispersed and the gripping contest of the Tiddlywinks final able to resume, Gary emerges from a parting crowd like Moses from the Red Sea. He declares a startling revelation. Both football and Tiddlywinks can coexist together in harmony. Elated, the crowds return and respectfully observe the final minutes of the intense tiddling. Before realizing how hideously dull the sport is. Yeah. And it is you, our winner tonight, David Wiley! Oh.
Hey. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank tonight's panelists, David Wiley, Chris Cosentino, Pip Mason, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and I'm still trying to figure out that hypnotist's trigger word. Ooh, what a lovely microphone.
See you next time.
Enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more? Follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.